Mahashimagadaga. Wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure are seen. He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows are dry, pestilence. He hided my soul in the depths of his love. It's all right. And there is somebody with a liver problem that God is healing now. That arrow is returned back to heaven. That shadows are drawn. Thank you. wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh thy burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. Again, a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my body away. He holdeth me up, and I shall. That is somebody's testimony. He giveth me strength as the day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows are dry. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there. Lift up your hands. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows are dry. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there. I'd like you to know that you are not vulnerable. The agenda of the enemy is not to watch us succeed in your life. Lift your hands. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of rose. The shadows are dry, the still land. He hides my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. Just worship him and begin to thank him for his coming. Father, we love you. Can you stand up on your feet 1 minute? If you can. If you cannot, you can remain in your position. But if you can, you lift up your hands. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Covers me there, oh, it is here. And covers me there, oh, it is here. Lift your hands up. The Spirit of God, I declare every trace of enemy confrontation, attack, vulnerability around your life today, it is broken in the name of Jesus. Help from above, mercy from above, victory. The enemy will not see you. The enemy will not catch you. The agenda of the enemy will not prosper. In Jesus' precious name. Take your seat. I hide myself in the cleft of the rock. The shadows are dry, there's still He hided my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand and covers me there with His hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and do I have faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and do I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. And thinketh no evil. We'll read that now from the Living Bible version. If I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages, speak in tongues, literally, without learning them, and could speak in every language there is, that's diverse tongues, both in heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I will only be making noise. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what is going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good will it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I have to poor people, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel, but didn't love others, it will be of no value whatever. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. The practice of love is what we are on, and this is part two. Our objective is to understand the practical details of loving people, the practical details. In the midweek service last week, we saw that love, the work of love, is very important for our existence on the earth and destiny in eternity. How we live in this world and where we end in eternity. We saw seven profits of love. We said first that love will cause you to realize your life's expectations. Because if you say someone should get there, no devil can keep you here. Secondly, we said that love will cause you to reap appropriate harvests. For whatsoever a man sows, he reaps. Third, we saw that love will cause you to access the mercy of God. Because to the merciful, God will show himself merciful. Fourth, we saw that love will cause an explosion of power and unction. Because compassion compels the unction. Fifthly, we saw that love will cause us to release life's potential. When we walk in love, we walk in the nature of our creation. Because God is love and God made us in his image. Sixthly, we saw that the work of love causes us to walk in the manifestation of the presence of God. When you love others, you move with a palpable presence of God. You walk in the manifestation of the presence of God. Because God is love and two can walk together if they be agreed. And finally, number seven, the work of love causes us to experience the possibility of eternity with God in heaven. Because hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness will easily, quickly end a life in hellfire. Because the sheep, according to Matthew 25, that took care of their neighbor when they were hungry or naked, ended in heaven. Those who didn't take care of them ended in hell. And so we saw that our lives on earth and our eternity in heaven is anchored on our walk of love. Now, this scripture we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 all the way to verse 5 for today, makes a few things very, very clear and also seriously clear. It makes four things very crucial and critical to note. He said, if I pray in tongues and I don't love, I am making noise. Now, let's go over it. Number one, he said, tongues equals noise without love. Tongues equals noise without love. In case you attended the first service, the major headings are the same, but the under topics will be different. Now, he said, tongues equals noise without love. What does that mean? It means lovelessness drowns the voice of prayer. Lovelessness drowns the voice of prayer. Hatred in the heart drowns your voice at the place of prayer. Unforgiveness in the heart drowns your voice at the place of prayer. You don't love your brother. You don't love your sister. You don't love your neighbor. You are wasting your time at the place of prayer. Tongues equals noise without love. Number two, it says faith. All right, he said, if I have all gifts of prophecy and I could tell all mysteries, I know everything, and I don't love, it profits me nothing. It says insight is a waste without love. Insight is a waste without love. What does that mean? It means your revelation cannot guarantee your manifestation in the absence of love. Your revelation cannot guarantee any meaningful outcome in the absence of love. Where love is absent, revelation means nothing. Insight means nothing. It cannot guarantee your manifestation in the absence of love. No wonder we have a lot of people whose heads are filled with scriptures, but whose lives are empty of results. Because it doesn't matter what you know. Until you know love, you know nothing. Say that again. It doesn't matter what you know. Until you know love, you know nothing. Second, third, he said, if I have faith, I could move mountains. It has no value. Faith adds no value without love. What does this mean to you? I'd like you to note this down. It's very serious. It means faith is fake without love, because faith walketh by love. Again, faith is fake without love, because faith walketh by love. According to Galatians chapter 5 verse 6, faith walketh by love. 2 Galatians 5 6. Refer to this correct scripture. Faith is fake without love. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh by love. Faith is fake without love. No wonder many people say, I believe, I have faith. Why am I not seeing this kind of result? They say, believe God, I believe God. But there is a bitterness you have with somebody that you refuse to resolve. There is an unforgiveness or a malice that you refused to resolve. Faith is fake without love. Finally, if I give my body to be burned, even if I die as a martyr, he said, and I have not love, it profiteth nothing. So we said, giving is unprofitable without love. Giving is unprofitable without love. What is the meaning of that? Giving without love equals sowing without reaping. Giving without love equals sowing without reaping. Giving without love is not permitted to yield expected harvest. It's not permitted. You are a fighter, you are a giver, you are a kingdom investor, but you have problem with everybody, and everybody has problem with you. You are bitter with everybody, and everybody is bitter with you. Harvest is gone. Beloved, this thing is so serious. It means there is nothing we can do without love. If Your prayer is useless without love. Your revelation of the Bible is a waste without love. Your faith does not work without love. And your sowing is useless without love. Then what is it that will be useful? Beloved brothers and sisters, as I'm talking right now, there are people seated here who need to make their ways right with fellow brothers, fellow sisters, family members. Very, very important. So what is the practicality of love? What are the practical departments of the work of love? What will love cause us to do? Number one, love is very patient. Practical details of love. Love is very patient. What is the meaning of that? First, it means love is both tolerant and tireless. Is both tolerant and tireless. People who walk, who cannot walk in love, are intolerant of people. Love is very tolerant and tireless. Number two, love has a large capacity to accommodate human error. Large capacity to accommodate. Large capacity. You live with your wife or husband and you are patient. Patient with each other. You have a child or a relation that is like wayward, and you are patient. You are tolerant. You are just patient. Thirdly, it means love has high staying power. Staying power. Power to stay put at the place of prayer. Power to stand firm in expectation. Love has the capacity to stand firm in expectation. High staying power. What does it mean? Fourthly, it means love does not give up easily. Easily. Before someone ends in hell, God must have tried his best. Love does not give up easily. Don't give up on your husband too easily. Don't give up on your wife too easily. Don't give up on your child too easily. Finally, love is persistent, tenacious, pertinacious. Love is persistent, is tenacious. Is pertinacious. When we grew up, my mother used to say things to us like, don't waste your time. You can't belong to the devil. Don't waste your time. You cannot belong to the devil. Don't waste your time. Don't struggle to sin. Very, very patient. Very tenacious. That woman hardly hit you a hand. But she will look at you with loving eyes in her eyes and say, don't do that. Don't follow that way. It's not your way. You don't belong there. Don't struggle to miss road. You can't miss road. I love. Love. You know, Smith Wigglesworth's wife was the one who gave her life to Christ first before Smith Wigglesworth, the apostle of faith. Smith Wigglesworth. Eventually, according to tradition, must have risen up 24 dead people in his lifetime. And he was a terrible drunkard. Dead drunk. Drink and becoming home staggering. That apostle of faith. Before he became an apostle of faith. The wife, Pauline. That's right. Polly Wigglesworth. Mary Jane Polly. The man would scream and said, if you go to church again, don't come back to this house. She went to church. Returned back and said, honey, please, I want you to know that you are my husband. But Jesus is my Lord. I will respect you. But I have to obey my Lord. And then, one day he carried out his threat. When she went to church, fellowship, before she returned back, he had locked all the doors of the house. He locked all doors. When the woman came, nowhere to enter the house. So she sat down. Where will I sit? She sat down beside the kitchen and slept like this on the kitchen door, leaned on the kitchen door and slept like that till morning. When the man woke up in the morning and was opening the door, opened the kitchen door, she fell inside with the door as the door was opening and stood up and said, good morning, sir. Please, what would you want for breakfast? What will you want for breakfast, sir? The man looked at her, melted. She served the breakfast. Long story made short. When he gave his life to Christ later, people asked him, they say, what happened to you? He said, my wife loved me into the kingdom. There are people, their wife pushed them to hell, pushed them to strange women, pushed them to alcohol, pushed them to many things, or their husband. But this one said, my wife loved me to heaven. See how patient she was. What will you have for breakfast? Is that the kind of thing to tell a man who locked you out in the morning? You, yeah, man, I will leave you and go to my father's house. Is marriage by force? Marriage by force? Will you do that to your daughter? Will you do that to your sister? If somebody does that to your sister, will you be happy? See you here because I went to church. Is it because I'm not following men? See, after me, I received the grace to be patient with God and to be patient in expectation. I don't know whose word. Please take your seat. Whose word this is today, but just be a little bit patient. That man will change. That husband will change. That child will change. That family member will change. Love is very patient. Number two, love is kind. Love is kind. What does that mean? First, it means that there is liberality in love. Liberality. Love is liberal. It's liberal. There is liberality in love. What does it mean? It means that love is not tight-fisted. Love is not tight-fisted or stingy. When you see a man tight-fisted towards wife, towards children, towards friends, towards loved ones, you are face-to-face with someone who is outside the vocabulary of love. Love is not tight-fisted. Thirdly, lovelessness is the way to greed and avarice. A-V-A-R-I-C-E. Is the way to greed and avarice. When you see government people steal money massively, money that could employ 10,000 people is sitting down in one man's account. Outside the country. being used for the development of other nations. Lovelessness that led to wickedness. And that money will sit there. They won't do much with it, just to sit there and look at it until they die out of the world. And maybe their family members have no access to that money. First time I went to Singapore, came back, I was very angry. First time I went to Dubai, I was very angry. First time I went to, and I was angry because in my mind I said, all these our people, they travel to those places. They see how things are working in other places. And yet they come here and steal all the money and make sure nothing is working. People are looking for money to eat. Price of everything is going up. Lovelessness that leads to wickedness, that leads to greed, and leads to avarice. How many rooms will a person sleep in one night? How many houses will a person live in one night? And how many things will somebody leave this world with? Are you sure? You know, there was a man that was being buried somewhere in the part of this country. And a madman stood beside the graveyard and he was watching them. By the time they put him in the grave and they're about to pause, and he said, wait! See his lorry there. Put it inside. His car is standing there. Please, put it inside. And he began to, you know, madman can speak sense at times. Am I communicating at all? Lovelessness. Number four. Love cares. And because love cares, love shares. In love, there is caring and there is sharing. Love cares. And because it cares, it shares. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His eyes is filled with our grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with a grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. When he loves, and he loves, he cares. And if we love like he loves, we also care. Love cares, love shares. When was the last time you shared with anybody? When was the last time somebody partook of a meal from you? Somebody benefited anything from your life? Don't say you don't have. You start from where you are. Love is kind. When you see that sister in the church with a dress that looks tattered, your response should not be laughter. Your response should be compassion. And then you are able to see if you can make a difference in that man's life. Love is kind. Number three, love does not envy. The Bible said it envieth not. It envieth not. What does that mean to you? Love, one, love never falls victim of competitive jealousy. You know what they call competitive jealousy, which is a plague in our generation today. Envy, competitive jealousy. There are people in this world who have never done any original thing. They are looking for what someone will do. What someone will do for them to do. Like someone said that we live in a world where people are in a rat race. You bought a car, I have to look for that kind of car. You got this kind of dress, I have to look for that kind of dress. Now, there is a difference between being positively inspired, being positively motivated. You know, the dress looks good on that person, so you like it and you want to wear it because it looks good. That's different. But if it is a matter of what can you wear that I can't wear? What can you buy that I can't buy? You put your children in American International School, or I can look for British International School and put my own. Struggle to buy a land in Asokoro, I have to struggle to buy one in Metama. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's unnecessary. When you love people, you don't compete with them, you commend their effort. Life is not competition, it's complementation. It's completion. Love never falls victim of competitive jealousy or competitiveness. Second, love does not struggle to outdo, undo, or deshine others. It's not a struggle to outdo, undo, or deshine others. There are those whose life is all about how to outdo the other person, how to undo the other person, or how to deshine the other person. Doesn't help you, doesn't go anywhere. Three. Love does not struggle to create impressions. It only struggles to give expression. Your struggle is not how to create impressions on people, on others. Your only struggle is to give expression to what God has put inside you. Love does not envy. What does it mean? Thirdly or fourthly, love does not kill itself to get what it doesn't have. Love does not kill itself to get what it doesn't have. In love, there is contentment, which is the opposite of covetousness. It doesn't kill itself to get what it doesn't have. To understand that life is in phases, men are in sizes. So you accept your status per time. Finally, love does not get angry at others for seeming personal failure. It doesn't get angry at others for apparent success on their part and seeming failure on his part. Doesn't get angry. Where love is absent, somebody has almost everybody to blame. It's angry. Somebody is progressing. Anger. Somebody got something new. Anger. Out of envy. Out of jealousy. Love does not envy. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? What you celebrate determines what you can attract. What you attack, you can never attract. What you don't like, you must lack. What you are not happy with about others can never happen for you. Very important. Love does not envy. Number four, love is not boastful. The Bible said, he vaunted not himself. Do you see? Many of the things that we do in this life are a function of lovelessness, which is the same as godlessness, because God is love. Lovelessness equals godlessness. Love is not boastful. What does it mean? One, love does not talk itself up and talk others down. It's not boastful. In love, you don't talk yourself up and talk others down. In the flesh, that is possible. In carnality, that is possible. In Satan, that is possible. I used to know a young man. There is a meeting, like a conference. Whenever we meet at a conference, he will now say, I just bought so-and-so latest model of so-and-so vehicle. We are not in the same realm. He's not a pastor at all. He has his own line of life. And it's not age mate. I may be more, maybe 20 years older than him. I have just been appointed as a United Nations Peace Ambassador. He's just talking. I'll be looking at him and looking at his childishness. No matter how red the eyes of a goat is, will it be redder than lion's eyes? That is a proverb. I'll leave it for another day. We have come to the point where things don't move us. What moves us is heavier than things. Talking. Have you come across such people before? They want to just... I just bought this watch now. I just bought this watch. It's $20,000. In fact, it was only one in the shop I bought. That is, you cannot buy it in case you want to. In case you want to go and look for it, just be informed that it was the last one is the one I bought. This suit is from Italy. It's custom made. They measured me for it. Thousands of dollars. You can buy 10 of the type you are wearing. How do people speak such things from their mouth? It's amazing. It's a miracle. Do you understand? How a person can say that to his neighbor? His neighbor. This cloth I'm wearing, I can buy 10 of what you are wearing. No, I'm not just boasting, just information. You and Satan are the same. Pride, arrogance, ostentation, braggadociousness. And where is the devil now? Where is Satan now? With all his pride. Where is Nebuchadnezzar? It's lovely. You don't need it. Your worth is not a product of how you boast. The content of your character is more important than the worth of your materials. It's far more important. The content of your character. The content of your character, the sweetness of your personality is far more important and has a heavier worth than how much you have in your account or how much you are wearing on your body. Is God speaking? Please take your seat. Love is not... Is it boasting we are dealing with now? It's not boastful. What does it mean? It means also, secondly, that love does not fall victim of self-praise. Self-praise. Love is never and can never be a victim of self-praise. Self-praise. Let others talk about what you are doing and let others mention it. Doesn't fall. You are not a victim of self-praise. Someone was telling me the other day, I said that they say this church is one of the biggest or the biggest or whatever. I said that is what they say. That is what they say. They say, is it not true? I say, confirm from us people. You mean I should be telling you this and that. That is what they say. If it is true, find out from people. If it is not true, find out. And whatever is concluded, I'm okay with it. Finally, love does not gloat about personal success independent of God. Personal success. There are people, the way they are talking about who they are and what they have achieved, you will be wondering, where is God in this equation? Where is God? Love does not gloat about personal success independent of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. That is what Paul the Apostle will say. I don't have a future without God. You wouldn't have heard of me if not for God. Love. Love, not salvation. Love does not gloat about. That is number four. Please, I want us to calm down. Calm down very well. Because the journey is far. Number five, love is not proud. Love is not proud. It's not haughty. It's not proud. What does this mean? First, it means that love is not inflated with an exaggerated opinion of self. It's not never inflated. With an exaggerated opinion of self. You don't exaggerate the opinion of who you are. Some of us here, you are going to be very, very big. But when people see you, they won't believe you are the one. That's how the work of love is. It's never inflated with an exaggerated opinion of self. Secondly, it means love is not arrogant, ostentatious, or peacockish. It's not arrogant. It's not ostentatious. When you walk in love, you are a permanent lifelong learner. You know, pride makes people to learn nothing. There are people who have never asked anybody any question in their life. I've asked my children questions. Because they were saying something I didn't understand. I didn't know. And I said, what did you say? Say it again. Love is never arrogant. It's never ostentatious. It's not peacock. When you see somebody always talking and not hearing, something is wrong with them. I knew somebody in the university. Every time you and him are talking, if the talk is 100%, he spoke 99.9%. And I'm not exaggerating. That's 0.01%. If you ever contributed, then maybe you had favor that day. He's just talking from the beginning to the end. So you know that the Bible said so and so, you know. So keep on. At the end, that guy, the mind just went somehow. Just went somehow. Do you understand what I'm saying? Something is wrong. You know the love of God in the life of a person by the sweetness of the spirit they possess. What did I call it? Sweetness of spirit. They are not struggling to dominate the discussion, to be dominant. They have what to learn. They have questions to ask. I'm a learner. Learner in ministry. Learner in worship. Learner in music. I took the saxophone. And some of the people who were meant to be under me were teaching me. And within 5 days, I already played a song. Learner. In just learning. Love is not arrogant. It's not ostentatious. It's not peacockish. Fourthly, Love is not snobbish. You know how people snob others? It's not snobbish or egotistic. There are those who are professional snobbers. Love is not snobbish. Doesn't snob people. They see you coming. They give you eye contact. But when you come near them, they throw their eyes away to the other side. And behave that they never saw you. They give you cool treatment. Cold treatment. Where do you go with such a life? To what extent did you profit from making somebody feel like they are not relevant? How did that increase you? That you made the person feel low, increase your size, increase your worth? When people become full of self, they very soon become empty of everything, starting with God. Empty of God, empty of everything. Love is not egotistic. Love is not snobbish. Fourthly, or fifthly, or lastly, love values others the way it values self. Your value for people is equal. You value people like you value yourself. In that case, you are not trying to look down or talk down on others. It's love. Beloved, let's go and love. Love your wife, love your husband, love your siblings, love your children, love your parents, love, love. Number six, love is not rude. Love is not rude. Love is polite. What is the meaning of that? You know, the King James said it does not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly. That means love is not rude. What does it mean? It means love does not behave in unbefitting and unsuitable ways. Unbefitting. There are people whose behaviors are unbefitting. Unbefitting. Of a child of God, of a human being. What does it mean? Are you ready for this? Second, love is not offensive or insulting. Love's language is not offensive, it's not insulting. When you see a person whose mouth is permanently filled with offense, he has a quarrel with everybody, including himself. The love of God is absent. Love is absent. Also, thirdly, love does not dishonor others. In love, there is honor. It doesn't dishonor others. There is honor. You love your wife, you honor her. You love your children, you honor them. You love your mother, your father, you honor them. Love does not dishonor. It doesn't dishonor. Please, I am speaking to members of all departments. Choir, honor each other. Counselors, prayer band, ushering. Whichever department, let's honor, mutual honor. It is hatred, bitterness, and lovelessness that dishonors people, that treat people despitefully. Love does not dishonor others. Fourth, love is not rash or brash with others. It's not rash or brash with others. There are those who are rash, very rough, very crude. I knew a man who almost insulted all his children onto uselessness. See this one passing with big head. What will this one amount to? See this one. Are you a prostitute or what are you? What do you call yourself? It was a joke. But that joke made turn all of them into jokers. Love is not rash, it's not brash, not crash others. Finally, love has manners. Love has etiquette. This thing, because love is the nature of God. So it imparts you correct manners, etiquette. Nobody teaches you to say sir to your seniors. You don't struggle. Now when our Father in the Lord is calling, at times we are on our knees. And he's on the other side though. He's not seeing what we are doing. Please, let love rule and we shall see life. Finally, love is not self-seeking. It's not self-seeking. What is the meaning of this? That is, love is not selfish. I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes and we close. 1, love does not demand its own way at the expense of the opinions of others. It doesn't demand or insist on its own way at the expense of the opinions of others. Especially in the marital context, for example, when the woman wants what she wants and doesn't care what the man thinks, and vice versa. Love, secondly, is easily entreatable. Love is easily entreatable. Love can be negotiated with. Where love is working, love is subject to discussion. It's amenable to negotiation. Thirdly, love does not force its ways on others. Force its ways on others. This is what must be done and it must be done. I'm not talking of maybe an institutional setting or an organizational setting where this is the rule of the organization. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking of a relationship setting. A relationship setting. Where this is your friend and that is we are friends. And then you want to force the other person who is your friend. Both of you are men or both of you are women. This is what you must do for you to be my friend. I'm not talking about you must live right. That is a correct thing to say. But you must be this way or that way. No. Please, never allow anybody to force you to be who you are not. Relationship is by choice, not by force. And for some of us who are in courtship now, we're talking to a man the other day and he said he saw the handwritings on the wall from courtship that this woman will give him problem. Yet, he went in. That this man is a wife beater. Yet, she went in. What is it that is compulsory in life other than to go to heaven? What? Nothing. Am I communicating? You saw the handwritings on the wall. Love does not force its ways on others. And finally, love is never self-absorbed and others blinded. Absorbed with self, blinded to others. No. It's never self-absorbed and others blinded. No. Like I said earlier on, love takes into cognizance the feelings, emotions, and opinions of others. One day, I saw my wife in the morning, somehow. I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm fine. Even though I feel a bit tired or a bit this and that. I said, all right. You are not going out today. You are not going nowhere. You are seeing nobody today. You are going nowhere today. What did I say? You are indoors morning till night. Yes, sir. That is a love command. It's a love command. One of our pastors was very, very sick somewhere in a particular location. And his wife said, come and be treated. He said, no, I can't leave the location. And it was still on the deliverance service. I carried phone before I entered. I said, be on your way now. And let's attend to you. And he traveled all the way, came about 6 miles, 6 kilometers away, was prayed for, was attended to, was treated, and he was perfect. And I said, you have to be alive to pastor. Right? You take the opinions, the feelings, the emotions of others into consideration. That is love. While you are, you see, how many of you know that if you are walking on the road and you don't think any other person is walking, you will bump into people. You keep on bumping into people. Let's recognize that we live in a world that is filled with others. And that nobody can succeed in this world until he knows how to get along with others. Did you hear what I just said? We live in a world that is filled with people. And nobody can be a success in life until he understands what it means to get along healthily with people. Conclusion. Love is life. Walk in love. Because love affects life, both in time and in eternity. 1 John chapter 3 verse 14, the Bible said, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We have life. The quality of your life, the quality of everything around you is enhanced with a love walk. Second, love guarantees profitability and productivity for your spirituality. Profitability, productivity. Do you understand that? Your prayer life is at the mercy of your love work. Your covenant practice of giving is at the mercy of your love work. Your faith is at the mercy of your love work. Your insight in the world is at the mercy of your love work. What can we do without love? Nothing. For the profitability and productivity of our spirituality, let us walk in love. I pray today that this message will change our relationships. So anybody you need to connect with and make amends with, go ahead and make amends with them. A new day and a new season is upon us, and I call it dawn. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and let's appreciate God.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this testing of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this testing of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Sing it one more time. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. And I pray this testing of my soul.
For the final time, lift your hand. Fill my cup, Lord.
Fill my cup.
I lift it up, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want.
Lift up your hands, everybody.
Fill my cup, I lift it up, I'm glad it's tested on my soul. Bread of heaven, fill it till I
and make me whole. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are. And see after me, say, Father, I come before you today and I receive the grace to walk the love walk. I receive that grace to walk the love walk. I receive that grace to walk the love walk. Lift up your hands everywhere you are.
And make me whole.
Lift your hands high. While those hands are lifted, everywhere you are this morning, in need of surrender to Jesus, in need of forgiveness for your sins, Pastor, pray for me. I want to make my ways right with Jesus. I want my life to be right and in order with God. I want forgiveness for my sins. I want an addiction broken off my life. I want today to make a new day for me. Pick your Bibles and pick your bags and quickly rush to the front and let me pray for you. Carry your Bibles, carry your bags, and let me pray for you.
Fill my cup, Lord.
I'll give you the count of seven. This is why you came here today. To make it right with Jesus. One. Rush forward. Carry your Bibles and your bags.
There's thirsting of soul. Bread of heaven. Fill me till I want no more.
Fill my cup. Fill it up. And make me yours. Fill my cup, Lord.
Come and quench
this thirst in my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want.
Mashako bagadagala. Right under your chest and say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I ask for mercy. I ask for forgiveness. Jesus, have your way in my life. Forgive me my sins. Help me to live for you. Help me to do your will. I receive the grace today to love you, to live for you, to do your will. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken off your life. Grace to live for God. I declare it released now. In Jesus' precious name. In a short while, our counselors will go with you, speak with you, let you know what to do to be established in God. But before that is done, can we all lift up our hands everywhere you are? You came with materials for impartation. You can lift it up. And if you didn't come with anything, just lift up your hands.
Ganasi. Ganasi. Naonyaminasi. Ganasi. Ganasi. Naonyaminasi. Every song, oh yeah, and I don't song, don't I see,
don't I see, don't you
mean, I see.
Lift it high up.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met.
Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all my darkness depart. Heavens came down and glory. Savior made me whole. And my sins were washed away. And my night was turned to day. Heavens came down and glory. When at the cross, my Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day.
Oh, 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 oh.
Hey, heavens came down and glory. Emini makoko Jerry Sagara, Oluwa.
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 Emini, 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 Emini,
Emini, Emini, makoko Jerry Sagara, Oluwa.
Emini makoko Jerry Sagara, Oluwa. Emini, 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 Emini,
Emini, Emini,
Emini, Emini, Emini, Emini, Emini, Emini, Emini, Emini,
Emini.
I pray for somebody here today. You are the next to testify. Whatever is the reason why you are holding what is in your hand. Whatever be your expectation to be settled maritally, expectation to be settled in the fruit of the womb, expectation for job establishment, expectation for business establishment, expectation for educational and academic establishment, expectation of admission into high institution or any level of schooling, expectation of healing and deliverance for your body, expectation of freedom from ancestral curses, generational curses, and every agenda of hell. Whatever be your expectation today, I prophesy they are released. The love of God that made him not to spare his son, but to release him for us all. That love of God is releasing for you now your heart's desire. 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 In the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In the name of the Father and of the Son. Of the Holy Ghost.
Age-long afflictions are broken.
And I prophesy upon your hands today, what is yours, no devil shall keep. Everyone who is faithful to God in your covenant practices, honoring him with your resources, in fighting and giving and sowing, the broadcast seed and all the seeds that were given, I prophesy today, harvest shall look for you 1,000-fold.
And those who are trusting God for supernatural supplies to be able to do for the kingdom the way you want to do it, your supplies are hereby released in the name of Jesus. And as you receive the grace to start from where you are, increase shall come. For everybody watching online, there is no barrier in anything. I prophesy your harvest is released. As you participate in this season of honoring God while we are in the live service and you are doing your own truth online, I prophesy what is yours, no devil shall take it. I call it done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Shout the loudest, amen.